He is risen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We are in the middle of the Easter season. We had Easter last week, but Easter continues as we celebrate that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, meaning that we look forward to an amazing time when Christ returns, the resurrection of the body. We have hope, we have new life, but we can have life even now. Now, sometimes we can look at the resurrection and say, oh, I look forward to the resurrection of the body. I look forward to that time sometime in the future when we will all be reunited, but we can enjoy the life that God has for us right now because of the resurrection. John chapter 20, verse 31 says, "These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." However, we can hear about the empty tomb, we can hear about the risen Lord, and yet we can be missing out on life. We can hear that the tomb is empty, that the Savior is alive, but we can be missing out on life. As kind of like the disciples were doing as they were living life behind locked doors, as they were biologically alive, but they were missing out on life. You can take your pulse and you can recognize that your heart is still beating. You can notice that your breath is still moving. If you did a scan of your brain waves, you would see movement. You'd be biologically alive, but it's possible that you can miss out on life. Why? Because of fear, because of guilt, because of a lack of peace. Any number of these things can, with those things, we can miss out on life. The disciples found themselves on the evening of Easter, having heard that the tomb was empty, but they were living life behind locked doors. They were biologically alive, but they had locked themselves into a prison of their own making, the doors being locked from the end time, from the inside. John chapter 20, verse 19 says, "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews." It had been quite a weekend for the disciples. They had seen their Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane being betrayed, being carried off. And what did those disciples do? For fear, they ran and they left their Lord. The Lord was taken and he was put on trial. And then he was sent out with a cross on his back. And there upon Calvary, he was there upon the cross dying. And the disciples heard of this. We can't quite imagine the sorrow and the struggle that they were going through, and possibly the guilt as they realized that they had abandoned their Lord. And now, on the evening of the day that they found out that Christ was no longer in the tomb, they were there, locked up behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. It's possible for us to hear about the risen tomb, or risen Lord, the empty tomb, for us to have heard the Easter message and yet be missing out on life. It could be for a number of reasons. One of the reasons that we can miss out on the life that the Lord has for us is fear. Think about those times in your life when fear has kept you back from any number of opportunities, whether small or big. As a teenager, I remember going to the amusement park and the big ones with the big roller coasters. And I saw some of my friends going on the roller coasters, but I was really scared to go on the roller coasters. Now, as you well know, not everybody has to go on roller coasters. It's not a requirement. However, I was missing out on these amazing loop-de-loops and drops and other things. Why? Not because I wasn't physically able to, but because of fear. I know as a little kid, I wrestled a lot with different kinds of fears that held me back in different ways. And that can happen with us. Whatever age we are, there might be a fear of some kind that is holding us back from living life. And we can find ourselves in a prison with the doors locked on the inside, maybe out of fear. We might have had an experience in our past that has scarred us in some way. A relationship that did not turn out. A difficult tragedy. Something that has left us feeling fearful and unafraid, and it can lock us in. Fear is one thing, but also guilt. Guilt can do that to us as well, as we can't seem to let go of something that happened. We think back on that experience. We think back on those words that we can't put back into our mouth that have hurt someone. We think about something that has wounded someone else or has wounded ourselves, and we have this intense guilt. Waking up in the morning with that heavy feeling in your heart, or not being able to sleep at night, tossing and turning because of some kind of guilt or shame that you are still experiencing. Where we miss out on the life that Christ would give to us because we've locked ourselves into a prison of our own making. Maybe it's a doubt. Maybe there's doubts. You've been reading certain articles and you've started wondering about the truth of certain things, about the truth of God's word, and you begin to be stirred up and you're missing out on life because you're wrestling with all these thoughts and it's crippling and it's overwhelming. Or maybe it's something called unforgiveness. Maybe there's something that you've been holding on to that you are not letting go of, and that is leading you to be focused on that situation where you're not able to let go, and so you've locked yourself in. And though you're biologically alive, though your heart is beating, though you have your breath moving in and out, you're missing out on life. Well, thankfully, our Lord breaks in to that prison that the disciples have made for themselves. Though the disciples are there behind locked doors, Jesus comes into the midst of them. John chapter 20, 19, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. The locked doors didn't keep Jesus out. Jesus appeared among them and he says those amazing words, "Peace be with you." Now that would make sense as the disciples would have been scared that all of a sudden Jesus was in their midst. But think about this. This was the same Lord that they had abandoned in the garden. This is the same Lord that they had run away in the midst of a difficult situation. But Jesus assures them. He says, "Peace be with you." He doesn't chew them out. He doesn't rebuke them, but he says, "Peace be with you." The one who went to the cross for these disciples to take their shame, to take their sorrow, to take all of this away, that Savior is now in their midst, risen, conquering death, conquering sin, conquering the power of the devil. And he brings them peace. And this same Lord Jesus brings you peace also. He's the one who can come into the midst of your prison that you've made for yourself. And he offers you his peace. He says, "Peace be to you." Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." John chapter 14, our Savior speaks about the peace that he gives. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." He also said in John 16, 33, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." That is your Savior who is alive, who gives you his peace. Before we celebrate the Lord's Supper, you'll often see me hold up the bread and the wine, and I will say those words, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." The risen Christ there for you. So one aspect of living life in the name of Jesus is believing that we have peace with God. That is part of the key that unlocks the door of that self-made prison, acknowledging Jesus' peace for you. John chapter 20, verse 20, continues the narrative. Jesus said to them in verse 21, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So Jesus says it again. He says, "Peace be with you." And then he does something kind of weird. If I was to walk up to you and I started breathing on you, you'd probably find it a little bit odd. But if you look at the scriptures, there's a huge significance in Jesus breathing upon the disciples. Think back to Genesis. In Genesis, it talks about the Lord who created Adam and then breathed the breath of life into him. The word there in Hebrew is ruach, which is breath or wind. He breathed the breath of life into Adam. And now Jesus, God in human flesh, the risen one, comes to the disciples and he breathes on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. And the word there for spirit is pneuma. It is the word for breath, wind, spirit. And so Jesus breathes upon them, breathing life into them. He takes a bunch of deflated, scared disciples and he breathes upon them, says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," foreshadowing the Pentecost, where the disciples have the tongues of fire and the wind rushing through, and these deflated disciples would now be bold and confident, daring to stand before a bunch of people and proclaiming Jesus as Lord, being locked in a public prison, but then let out. And they said, "We must obey God rather than men." Something got into those boys. New life. The amazing thing is that the Holy Spirit is also for you. Remember who you are in Christ. Baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A new creation in Christ. Given the Holy Spirit, which gives you faith to believe the words of Jesus, but also the boldness to go out and leave that prison that you've made for yourself and go out and live boldly because you're not alone. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You might be concerned about that conversation you're going to have tomorrow or in the next week. Why? You don't need to be afraid because the Lord goes with you. The Holy Spirit will give you the words, will give you the wisdom. The Holy Spirit speaking through the Word empowers you to go out and boldly proclaim Jesus, His love, and His message. So another key to living life, not just being biologically alive, but living life, is to acknowledge that, yes, you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with that comes boldness. Jesus continues talking to his disciples, and he says in John 20, 23, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." This is something pretty incredible that the Lord is giving to the disciples. It's something that we sometimes refer to as the office of the keys. The office of the keys. And what's really neat is the Lord has given the disciples the authority to proclaim the forgiveness of sins. And you see, forgiveness is also a key in living life in Christ. And when we have been burdened by sin, when we've been burdened by guilt, that can lead to us living life biologically alive, but not living life to the fullness. But as you hear proclaimed to you that you are forgiven in Christ, as you hear that, it frees you and it frees me to live life without fear, knowing that in Christ all of your sins have been forgiven. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord.
Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool.
At the beginning of the service, we have what we call the confession and absolution. And what we do there is we acknowledge, first of all, that we come before God needing Jesus. We don't waltz into church saying, well, you know, I don't need Jesus. I'm just here for fun. We come here acknowledging that we are broken people, that we can do nothing apart from Christ. We get rid of all pretense, thinking that somehow if we do well enough, that God will like us more. No, that's not the case. We come acknowledging, Jesus, I still need you. I have sinned in thought, word, and deed. But then the words of forgiveness are proclaimed, that you are forgiven. This is all through Christ Jesus. The office of the keys has even today been given to the church. And I have the opportunity on behalf of the church to proclaim those words of forgiveness to you in the stead and by the command of Christ. There's a document called the Book of Concord, our Lutheran Confessions, that speaks about the confession and absolution. It says, quote, "It is not the voice or word of man who speaks it, but it is the word of God who forgives sin, for it is spoken in God's stead and by his command." What a neat opportunity that we get to continue hearing the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins, and that frees you and me to live. It reminds me of an illustration found in Pilgrim's Progress, and I've used it before, but it's such a beautiful picture. Our friend Christian, the name of the character in the book Pilgrim's Progress, is he's on his journey, and he's been carrying this huge giant burden, just a giant burden of nasty, smelly stuff. And he's been carrying it on his back, and these straps are digging into his shoulders, and he is so burdened, so worn out. And he walks up to this hill, and there is the cross there before him. And Christian slumps to his knees before the cross. But as he's kneeling there before the cross, all of a sudden the straps on his burden around his shoulders break. And the huge burden falls off his back, rolls down the hill into an open tomb. And there is Christian joyfully kneeling before the cross with no more burden upon his shoulders. No more burden. The freedom that comes with knowing that in Christ you are forgiven frees you to live life in the name of Jesus. You in Christ are forgiven. And that forgiveness in Christ allows us to then let go of the grudges that we've been holding on to. It is in Christ's forgiveness that we experience the amazing grace of God, which allows us to show that forgiveness to others. Things that we've been holding on to, chains of unforgiveness that have been binding us. And by the grace of God, he allows us to let those go so that we can walk in the freedom, living in Christ's name and his forgiveness. So believing that you are forgiven, that is life in Jesus' name. And then Jesus appears to Thomas, right? Our good friend Thomas. Thomas the realist, Thomas the skeptic, Thomas who wasn't there the first time when the disciples were there and they saw Jesus. But Thomas, he says, "Unless I put my finger in his wounds or in his side, I will not believe." And Jesus has a wonderful gift for Thomas. Several days later, Jesus appears to the disciples while Thomas is also there. And he says, "Thomas, here, put your finger in my wounds, put your finger in my side, stop doubting and believe." What an amazing gift for Thomas. What an amazing gift. And notice what Jesus says to Thomas, though. Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." And as I stand before all of you, these are the people that I see. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. That leads to another aspect of being free to walk in Christ. And that is faith. Your mind is going to tell you all kinds of different things. Your emotions are going to tell you all kinds of different things. And you're going to be tossed around at times by things that you're going to read, things that you're going to ponder, and you're going to have doubts. You're going to have questions, and you're going to start saying, well, is the Word of God really true? And you're going to start to become burdened and weighed down. But the thing is that Christ gives you and me faith. Again, this is by the power of the Holy Spirit, to stop listening to all your emotions that go scurrying around this way and that, depending on what you've eaten sometimes. If you had 5 tacos, you might have different emotions. Different things can affect our emotions. But look to the foundation of God's Word. Look to those words of Scripture that point to Jesus, your resurrected Lord, and trust those. Say, I am going to believe this. I am going to trust that Christ is in fact risen. The tomb is still empty, meaning I have life. You can't always know what your feelings are going to do, but you can decide that you are going to believe the Scriptures. I will trust this. And that makes all the difference in the world. So here's a question for us as we begin wrapping up here. Are we willing to step out of that prison? There are times when we can make a prison for ourselves, locking the door from the inside. Someone opens the door for us. Someone says, here, let's come out of that prison that you've made for yourself. But there are times when we decide not to. We say, no, I'm going to stay in here. I talked to a lady not too long ago, and she gave a very interesting analogy of an outhouse, actually. It's kind of interesting, and it got me thinking. She said, you know, we can find ourselves in situations that stink. We can find ourselves in situations that are not good. They're not positive. And what can happen, though, instead of acknowledging that we're in a difficult, not good, stinky situation, instead of going out and leaving that situation, we decide to decorate the outhouse. We decide to make our present situation look nice by putting up pictures and decorate it. Or we spritz some perfume around and say, it doesn't smell that bad. I can live here. I come across people that are in difficult situations in their life, and I just want to say, look, do you realize what you're doing? You're not suffering for Jesus. You've done this to yourself. Jesus offers you life and forgiveness and freedom, and you're sitting there in your little outhouse, and you are not coming out. I think it is a question for us. In those situations, we can find ourselves in those. Are we willing to step out and say, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going to trust that Jesus is going to take care of me. I'm going to step out of the outhouse. Something for us to consider. But knowing this, that Jesus continues to reach out his hand and draw us to him. And he, even in the midst of our little prisons that we make, he continues and he can appear and say, look, peace be with you. And I pray that then, as the Lord would lead us out, like the disciples once were locked in a prison of their own making, they were then out and about, boldly proclaiming the life of Jesus Christ to the world. So as we go forward, may we live life in Jesus' name, living with peace instead of fear, living with forgiveness instead of guilt, living with faith instead of doubt, living and believing the words of Jesus, living in boldness and having life in his name. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.